have entered the studio, and we're getting a double insider moment. Don Valley North's going to be pumped up for this.
How do we delegate this?
Our insiders are brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Double insider duty. Sam McKee and Brent Gunning joining us this morning. Gentlemen, how are we?
Getting by.
We're here. We're here.
You, as I said, both of you had late nights.
As I said to as I said to your producer Daniele, I can go to the depths of doldrum if you want, but we're okay.
Okay.
The sun came up.
He is like a kid. He was at the game.
I did get kicked in the face at 4:30 in the morning.
My head hit the pillow at 11:15. I woke up at like 6. So yeah,
you were struggling on Leafs Talk last night though.
Yeah. So we had some technical difficulties.
I think I was home. I was at the game before you guys got on the air, to be honest. Yeah. I was home at 10:30. I don't know how long the difficulties were, but
my internet cut out and then my camera wasn't working, and then I got on there and I was just unhinged.
Did you maybe need a moment?
No. Honestly,
so you're feeling good.
No, I'm not feeling good.
Okay.
I absolutely went for it yesterday on Real Kipper and Bourne. I went for it. Johnny Lee fan. This is different. Yep. They're fine. And I am coming in here today a completely different person. I am a broken man.
Because one game broken.
Because last night looked so much like all the other ones.
That's the scary part, isn't it?
It's just, if you were going to, like Bunkus said last night on the show, if you're going to drop like the slip of all the stuff that would go badly in that game, everything was there. They were bad on the power play. Mm-hmm. The Stars were quiet. A couple soft goals went in their net.
Kerfoot puck over the glass.
Yeah, puck over the glass. But how many other?
Oh my god! I didn't even put that one in my thoughts.
Where else do you want to go?
Like goat defenseman, or someone wearing the goat horns and Justin Hall?
Yeah, it's the same game. I was sitting there, saying to myself, I'm watching the same game.
I'm always
a mistake from the lineup perspective and Michael Bunting. Like a lot of things that you can circle. A lot of solutions that need to be...
Wow, you're preaching to the choir on the Michael Bunting.
Look, the Bunting thing, I got pulled in with everybody being like, no, see, they got the wiggle room. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah.
You got pulled in?
I can understand it. If I'm the guy making the decision, and this is hindsight 2020, mm-hmm. I still would have had him in the lineup last night, but I understood the reason of why you stayed away from him, of keeping things quiet and all that. A little too quiet last night. Maybe that was the move there. So yeah, Bunting's back in 1,000%. Right. And yeah, it's easy to say now, but he should have been in.
Bunting's in. Who's out?
It's got to be Lafferty. I would love to sit here and be like, Alex Kerfoot, the only reason he's in is because he scored that OT winner. But it's like, guess what? He also screened a goalie on another goal in that game. He does more than we want to give him credit for. It's Lafferty. Aston Reese has kind of found a role ever since Achari came in, even though they don't play together. It's weird that that's helped him as much as it has. So I think it's got to be Lafferty. If I want to get spicy, I could just put him in Yarncroc's spot until Yarncroc to take a seat. That's not happening, though. Let's be honest.
I agree, but that wasn't like far fetched from what we were kind of bouncing around as well.
Why isn't that happening?
Term. It's dumb, but Term. He's the only guy on the books with it outside of Mo. I think there's something
to
the fact.
What about the sample size that Matthews was like, I like playing with this guy?
Probably matters.
A while ago.
That was like, you know, that was
like a month and a half ago.
That was before we all are full on panicking about the Leafs. So maybe he has different feelings heading on the plane down to Tampa. I don't know. Like, Lafferty to me, he seems like the easy one to take out, but I do like his pop in the bottom six.
The pace is really
nice. He's noticeable, and he can run into people, and like he plays a role in that line. Like, I don't necessarily want to break up Kampf and Aston Reese and Lafferty. Like, I don't really know where you take it's. To me, it's Yarncroc.
Well, this goes,
if you're doing it on if you're doing it on merit,
yeah,
it's Yarncroc.
Well, this goes back to the problem with a guy like Yarncroc is that it was the whole thing of like, well, can you get 80% of Bunting if he's on the third line? But to get the best version of Yarncroc, he needs to be with skilled guys. Yeah. And guess what? He's not doing anything with them.
I think he could disappear in the middle six and not hurt you. But you said noticeable. Noticeable might be like the tiebreaker. Because Kerfoot, other than one goal in this series, has been a complete,
he's
ghost.
He's just not coming out. There's just no way.
Sean's never done it.
That's what I think. Adores this man. It's like, they made that decision on Bunting, but there's no way they're taking Yarncroc or Kerfoot out because it probably rocks the boat too much.
Yeah,
it's almost
maybe.
Like you need that excuse. You need him to do something stupid for them
like
to actually make a decision.
Like a puck over glass penalty or something?
Like a puck over glass penalty. Honestly, I'm I rewatched some of last year's series. And Kerfoot was a rock star. Kerfoot was a rock star for four games. And he was killing penalties, and it was a big part of it. And now he doesn't kill penalties anymore. It's like, what do you do here?
The problem is you need to make these decisions on like with horse blinders on, right? Like, yes, Yarncroke did a good job with Matthews in the regular season, and we're giving him credit for that. But like, look at the last five games. Like, how, and it's going to be difficult for Sheldon Keefe. And we talked about this, and Kipper brought it up as well. Like, he has to make some difficult decisions. And it's like, can you distance your heart from your mind? Like, you love Justin Hall and you want to roll that guy out again, but is it the right pick with your logic? Is that the same way you thought about Bunting? Like, I think he made the hard decision with Bunting, but can you make the hard decision again with maybe taking a guy out that might rock the boat? Like, he's in a tough spot. It feels like a lose-lose at times, unless he pulls something out drastically, like Tanner Jeannot for Essiemont, which looked amazing.
I like how you put a little French.
Can they play Tanner Jeannot again? Because that guy they brought in, Essiemont, he was very noticeable the entire game, scored a goal.
And Justin Hall turned in the wrong way.
He did. He's fast. I don't know. So
flipped him around.
Listen, you're paid to make hard decisions.
Yeah.
This is where, over and over again, we've talked about Sheldon Keefe in the first round of the playoffs, where we've had these conversations about
him getting
out-coached and him having... This is a huge part of it, is pulling the right strings before the game even starts, making the decisions of who's coming in, who's going out. And he's got some major ones before game six. Like, he's got some major, major decisions to make, and I don't know what he's going to do. Gun to my head, he sticks with everything except Bunting going in. Like, I
really,
gun to my head, he's
so
going
Bunting
down.
Goes in fourth line, or I get whatever you expect.
I think you start him there, and then you see how the flow of the game goes. Yeah. It's a kind of exactly what they did with Nyes there. Of okay, you're going to start on the third line, and oh, that's pretty quick that he's into the top six. And if he's sitting there, and Yarncroft's not giving you anything, it's pretty easy to flip him up there. The other thing about it is with Matthews is we've seen this before. It all goes back to the Zach Hyman corollary of you need a guy who's going to go in there and dig the puck out and work and all of that stuff, and not to say Yarncroke is incapable of that, but Bunting has just proved a longer track record of making it work with that guy.
The one thing I do worry about with Bunting, if they're going to stick with Nylander and Matthews together, if they're going to put him in that situation at all through the game, it's a lot of defensive heavy lifting for Matthews, where that you're kind of not borderline neutering Matthews there, but like you're really hurting him defense, because Bunting is no good defensively, and Willie Nylander, I mean, he can pretend to be sometimes, but a lot of times he's cheating for offense, which you want him to do because that's what his game is. And then it's just like you're going to have Matthews down below the dots a lot, starting the shifts from behind his own net a lot of the time, digging the puck out. So I do worry about that with Matthews too, and I think that's probably a lot of the reason he likes playing with Yarncroft is because he's at least got a defensive conscience and he digs pucks out for him a little bit.
You do risk exposing Tavares too if you're playing Marner with him, because you have to have some semblance of defensive minutes if Mitch, like, he's too good of a defensive player to not have him play in like meaningful matchups.
Yeah.
We just had Kipper on, and I think he kind of named four guys who make sense for a demotion, and you can kind of formulate your lineup that way.
What did he say?
Lafferty, Nyes, Kerfoot, Yarncroke. So if you move Bunting up to the top and you move everyone else down one rung, it kind of makes the most sense. At least to me, when he said it, it makes a lot of sense. Because the Nyes, Tavares, Marner thing, it didn't jump off the page in any way. And he worked really well with O'Reilly.
Yeah.
So if Yarncroke goes down one, Kerfoot goes down to the fourth line, Lafferty out, Bunting at the top, you're not making too many changes, but you're making small changes, tweaks to every single unit.
That's probably right.
Kipper's always right.
Yeah, he's actually
writes columns on his iPhone. He's a brilliant man.
Boy, did you hear about that?
You read that article he wrote yesterday? I was like, oh my god, this is so tantalizing, juicy.
We just talked about it. Well, what do you guys think of it?
I was just fascinated by it. I was like, this is something that we haven't talked about at all year.
Dude, like, just drops
his
bag,
drops his bomb right on game five day. I'm like, you're too good at this, kid.
He is too good at it. I money's always like the excuse thing, though. Like, oh, I didn't resign because there was money elsewhere, or we didn't want to offer this money. I feel like maybe people are protecting themselves with using the veil of money a little bit.
Yeah,
that's kind of the thing I got from it.
I think there's definitely something to that, but it's also this is the double-edged sword of being in the most important market that everyone's always watching, is that everybody knew how this was going to play out with Cal Dubas. They knew this 3 years ago if the team never got through, and here we are. And you just look at the way the landscape has changed with Fenway owning the Penguins now and just other those types of things being involved. I still think when push comes push comes to shove, there is nothing sexier in hockey than being the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No question.
A lot of money can change things, mm-hmm. but I don't know that money can mean more than that, especially when this team's got a lot of money too.
And listen, they're going to win mm-hmm. this series. Either they're going to win this series
or they're going to lose it.
And he's going to go on and they're going to be happy mm-hmm. and it's going to be great times for yep. the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they're going to however many games they go with the next team if that happens. Great. He probably resigns. He stays in Toronto. They blow this baby. I don't want him back anyway.
Well, so it's like, no, I think he's one of few yeah. that you don't want back no, too.
So,
right?
Do you think there's any chance that, okay, they win, they lose to Boston in the next round, Leafs offer him $5 million a year, but there's $6 million with Pittsburgh.
He stays.
I think yeah. he stays, right? Well,
Yeah, there is no, especially with just the dichotomy of those situations, the idea of like, hey, would you like to, with scotch tape and bubble gum, try to get Crosby one more go as opposed to
an easy
group?
Job.
And he's
no.
a Toronto, like his roots are here now. His yeah. kids are here. Yeah, yeah. He's got the whole, I mean, yeah.
the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins, it's like, yeah, it's right there for you if you can perfectly thread the needle. But oof.
He has enough passion to get into screaming matches with fans. So, I mean, he must love the Leafs.
Justin wants to see a free Kyle Dubas, though, like free Kyle Dubas in terms of like letting him be himself.
I call him corporate Kyle. I think he's a little bit, I think he's got to toe the line organizationally.
No question.
And
he talks about this all the time. Super fiery, and you don't see it a lot.
Yeah, saw it for one moment in Tampa.
Well, the press box is like in the
it's crazy.
Garden.
That can't be allowed.
So can we move that a little bit?
People are climbing in there. Like, it's insane.
I'm still not 100% sure it wasn't Leaf fans who were screaming at him. Look at this team you built.
Well,
and then he's like, yeah, I'm getting my legs in.
One of the guys in the video has a Hockey Canada hat on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what are the odds that someone that's from Tampa, lives in Tampa, is Tampa born, is wearing Hockey Canada?
I can't believe we don't know what elicited that reaction, though. Because that was, like, he was steaming. Steaming mad.
I don't know how much this is. I mean, I don't think it's too much talking out of school. You see it on the broadcast mm-hmm. of him being hot. Like, I sit on press row. You can hear him. Guy's yelling during games. Like, he is intense. He's locked in. And it's just, mm-hmm. he's not screaming at fans or media for that matter, because they're not in the beer garden, like you said. But yeah, that didn't surprise me when mm-hmm. I saw it at all.
Hall Liljegren, we should probably discuss the blue line.
Is there a name was there one more name you're missing in that conversation?
Gio. Yeah, we're going to get a little bit of heat for just
Gustafson.
Or putting Gio in, you know, at least the conversation of underperforming defensemen. I think, of course, brutal. Hall is number one. I think we can all agree in that.
They're one and the same.
Okay, yeah. so but we're getting a little bit of pushback this morning. Like, you can put Gio in that conversation.
Because Gio took less money from Toronto.
He almost died on his trophy.
It's right. And, like, I know that, see, this is it. You have to distance your heart from your mind sometimes. Like, I obviously think he's a beloved figure in this organization, and he's a great guy, and Justin thinks he's growing his hair out. And
you see him?
He's doing the things
he's doing for the guys. He's going to look like an absolute moron with, like, basically no hair. Like, he's going to look like Homer Simpson with, like, a couple strands.
Well, he's doing it for the boys. He's got the passion. But it's sometimes hard to say, like, yes, he can be all those things, but maybe not performing up to snuff. But yes, him and Hall, you have them as, like, 1A, 1B.
Yeah, and this is probably going to piss some people off, but gun to my head, neither of them come out.
This is Sam McKee
at Sam McKee.
Yeah.
Neither of them come out. Like, I want them to make changes, but I think Keith would be terrified of putting ice-cold guys into this series.
Okay, but we just talked to Kipper. And
he said,
like,
take him out?
He's like, buddy, I played one game, and then I didn't play till game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You just, at finals, when you win the Stanley Cup, he's like, you just got to be ready, you got to be ready. And I'm like, I totally agree with that. Yeah. Like, you're a pro. You're in the National Hockey League. But you're a younger guy. Timothy Liljegren hasn't been in the lineup for a little while. You're getting thrust into game 6 against Tampa Bay Lightning, who are going to be kind of goons, you'd think.
Well, not to undercut Kipper, because he's right and knows way more than all of us combined, but it's a little different when you're Nick Kiprios and you got to get in there and just run around.
That's
as opposed
true.
To a Timothy Liljegren. Should he come in, you got to be a little more cerebral. The thing I keep going back to is that if I felt better about Giordano, it's a really easy get Liljegren in there.
That's
because
true.
Liljegren and Giordano were so good together. But then this goes back to the whole left-right thing. You want to split up Brody and McCabe, you want to do all this, and there's just not the left shot option. I'm sorry, Philip Gustafson, no thanks. Like, not unless 3 or 4 guys are dropping. I do not want to see that guy. You would want to talk about ice cold into a playoff series. He is the worst possible example of a guy like that.
You might as well put Victor Mete in.
He was skating.
He's hanging
around. Good for him.
Is Justin Hall not most representative of the down with the ship mentality that is like clearly underscoring and underlying everything in the series. Like, he is the guy who's been with these two being Dubas and Keefe, forever, right? He's been the one success story, the one guy who learned with the Marlies, came up, and is trusted so dearly. Like, it seems like if they're going to go down, if they're going to go down the way they are, like, it just means and entails that Justin Hall, despite being having his minutes cut down majorly last night, and even that makes the night even worse because he get on the ice for three goals and did not play as much as he normally does, he is the guy that they ultimately trust. And I feel like push comes to shove, they are probably going to go back to that. Like, if they go to game six with Liljegren, lose, and he's out, Hall's back in game seven.
For sure.
No
so
question.
Either, there's no, like, getting around the fact that it'll eventually be Hall, and eventually it'll be win or loss, and then we'll see the consequences of that.
And this is, we are reaching a whipping boy crescendo right now with Justin Hall. Like, this is
full
in,
Jake Gardner, Larry Murphy.
He is at, and it's crazy to me because he just is like a guy they've developed, and he makes no money, and he's played a role for this team forever.
He was MVP for a little bit of our season too.
He was really, really good for stretches, but he's that play he makes. So the Leafs score that first goal, building's rocking.
Oh my God.
And then he just steps up there, loses his stick, and then he's just nowhere to be found. I was like, oh my God, if they could have just built on that first goal, and it's just a glaring moment in the center of the ice.
It changes everything.
Changed everything.
Well, this is, we go back to, we haven't even mentioned this in the conversation somehow yet, the idea of killer instinct. It's like, that is what it is. It's right there. It's not going out. We always, or at least I always, first blush, think of killer instinct as Mitch Marner going through the whole team and scoring a big goal in a big moment. Killer instinct is not screwing up, actually, after you've put yourself
in that position.
Don't
let them score 26 seconds after you score a massive goal.
Killer instinct is not letting them score in the final minute of every period, which they've done most. They didn't do that yesterday.
That was throwback to a couple years ago.
And that was a part of, you know, what we were lacking the last couple games when they found a way to miraculously come back. But those were moments where you let your foot off the gas, and a team like Tampa Bay is going to be able to capitalize. And that was last night, too.
Do you think Justin Hall feels the pressure to be someone he's not in the playoffs? Like, because we're talking about flipping the switch, right?
It's like he was playing offense for like half the game there.
There was one moment where he is skating head up, and Matthews is standing at the blue line. He just beaver tailing. You have all the skill guys on the ice, and Justin Hall's like, guys, I got this. It's my time. And what are you doing? Like, it's just the mind-boggling decision-making. And I think that with a guy like Hall is that when he's really safe, and it goes back to, again, you can't just put it all on him. It's his partner. Mm-hmm. The fact that his partner's struggling.
Yeah, how much is that?
He is a guy who, again, it's like there's a reason he makes $2 million and not six, and it's because he needs structure around him to look like the best version of himself. You start to see the structure slip away, some of it from his partner, some of it from the forwards, and all of a sudden, this is what you see.
I think he's overcompensating. Like, how many times does he go for that hit on Hagel where he loses his stick and bounces off him and can't get back? That's not his thing. He's a positional guy who's not making mistakes. But if you lose confidence in your partner, you feel like, hey, you've been told you're not tough enough. We're bringing in guys like Luke Shen. Your position here is in trouble. You've got to be more. What did he do? He started fighting immediately after Luke Shen came in. Like, this guy feels something. He feels some sort of responsibility when, if you just pretend it's December 10th and you play that positional Marlies brand, that's what gives you value. Nothing else. Misplaced aggression, misplaced confidence, all that stuff, it only hurts Justin Hall. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, a head thing. I don't know if it's an instructional thing. I have no idea what's going on there, but you can't escape the fact that he's been on the ice for a billion goals in this series.
No, it's, and that Sportsnet stats. I don't know who the admin is for Sportsnet stats.
Oh, I have that ready.
But I do. They're an Oilers fan, for sure.
Oh, I was going to say, they do not like Justin Hall.
You want to hear the stat?
Well,
it got worse. No. It got worse later in the game.
Yeah, Justin Hall
17 and
has been on the ice for 14 goals against, the most ever by a Maple Leafs player in a single playoff series over the past decade.
Okay, so that's not good.
Really?
Yeah, but
wasn't Jake Gardner on for like 8 goals in one game way back when?
You don't go against Sportsnet stats. They know they're but stuff.
I mean, now a lot of that doesn't account for power play.
Yeah.
And penalty kill, right?
That's what this says. But you heard Keith's response. You'll probably play it for Kippers.
Oh, yeah, I saw. Yeah, he's.
Was he the only one out there?
Guess what? That's why I'm saying.
Yeah,
to everybody,
he's not getting out of the lineup. Not
so why did he say that? Was that someone shot at Gio?
Someone asked about.
Yeah, it was like it was a really pointed question. Yeah. Gives him the numbers. I don't think any coach wants to hear the exact numbers in a question. It was a good question. Give him credit.
Yeah,
I think what it is if you look at Keefe and he is really, you know, he will have a very slight pointed criticism of a player in a post game, but he's not going to go full Rick Bonus after the Jets lost last night and just these guys are no good. There was no pushback. You're not going to see that.
Disgusting.
Yeah. You're not going to see that from Keefe. So
he wasted a year of his retirement.
So it's just
hanging out with the Jets for a year.
But it's just when you look at it, it's just that's what it reeked of to me. It was just frustration. And again, it's like we go back to what everybody says about Dubas. Keefe, even more so, mm-hmm. really fiery guy. And he was pissed off. He didn't like how the game went. And he didn't like that one guy was eating at all because, quite frankly, he shouldn't. Justin Hall's been bad. Mm-hmm. He's not been the only one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk goaltending. Yeah. A bit of a different vibe last night. You got Vasilevsky who's showing some vintage Vasilevsky moments, and some moments. Yeah,
not
the whole game, but there's some moments.
Like I
he
saw
made some
that,
big saves.
I saw the narrative that everyone's like, oh, he was locked in. They missed like so many of those.
I think our vantage point might have changed because you and I looked at things differently than people that were watching on television, like, for sure.
Maybe because we're in the arena.
Yeah,
I just think maybe there were like moments right in front of where like, oh, and then it didn't go in. But do we know why it didn't go in? Did we see every replay perfectly?
It just there was a point where at the end of the game when it was 3-2 mm-hmm. and they had the goalie pulled.
Oh, and Matthews missed the net twice and someone hit the post.
Riley feathered one from the spot that he scored all the goals from and it missed by a centimeter. It just felt to me that they were not getting the breaks they were getting in the other two games where
pucks
were just going in.
Ran out a bit. But the story still is.
Two or three, like, ones where you're like, oh, maybe he's back.
True.
But it's like, they've shot five past this guy every game.
But
so
they'll
I know
say
how to
Vasilevsky was a better goaltender than Samsonov.
No question.
And that's the difference.
Yes.
So if you think Vasilevsky's Vasilevsky of past, no. But he still outplayed Samsonov. That hasn't happened yet. Other than those two games.
Here's what I'll say about Vasilevsky is I agree mostly with what you're saying, McKee, there, where it looked a little better than it probably was. But with a guy like that, all it takes is him being able to convince himself that it turned it around.
Goal scorer needs to see the puck go in the net.
It doesn't matter how.
Vasilevsky just have to see 100%. A one or a two on the board or a victory.
Especially
I think that would have done something for him.
Especially saying that he was washed. Like, I know he's probably not listening, but, you know,
no,
he's something there.
No, he was 100% there. Listening.
Oh, how could you not?
Like, there you go.
The extra day of media of everyone being like, oh, this guy can't stop a shot from the point.
And they made him talk. It was like he had to.
He needs x-ray goggles. Okay, Samsonov.
Yeah. That's stunk,
Can you put your theory out about he's a little milking it a bit?
Oh, that's my theory everyone's.
But I'm not in disagreement.
Oh, I was
it's kind of dramatic.
You were on fire with your Hedman take last night.
I said last night that Hedman was milking it. Like, I was just unhinged last night. But from time to time, when Samsonov
falls or gets up slowly,
sometimes I thought, like, over the year that he was a little bit of a, he was milking it a little bit.
I'm going the other way. He needs to milk it more. Best version of Sammy we've seen is when he's been the milkman. He's
dramatic
like,
Sammy.
Think about just like 3 weeks ago at the tail end of the season. It's like, is he dead? No, he's fine. He's going to send me, doesn't bend, he doesn't break. He needs to start milking it more to get in the best version of himself. That goal against Asamoah, though, that's what it all comes down to. It was just terrible.
I hated the third one way
swimming,
more.
Swimming, swimming on the third one.
I hated the third one way more than the first. The second one is just like, he guessed wrong. Asamoah caught him napping a little bit. That's an NHL forward from a sweet spot who just fired a quick one and like that goes in. But the third one, he legitimately took himself out of the play.
The swimming,
well, that was
to
like
me,
Allmark.
It's like sometimes it's like
he was in the same position on his back, just out of the crease. Like, how do you get there?
It's like he doesn't have edges on his skates, like butter knives, and he slides out. He's always sliding. He's slip and sliding around the crease. Just sometimes when you see that early on, you think, okay, this is, he's not confident or he's not dialed or whatever. But it felt like that last night where he didn't win a game for the Leafs.
I also thought, though, that after the second goal went in, he was nails for the rest of the time until he let in another back-breaking softy. But until that happened, he was
nails. But he's going to have to be the better goaltender.
If the Leafs tie that game, win in overtime, we'd be talking about how he kept them in.
100%.
So it's very self-serving. The goaltender's performance normally, if not brilliant or totally awful, you can use to your argument.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of been the Samsonov experience in this series in that he hasn't been the reason you won. Yeah. Hasn't been the reason you've lost. He's given you probably what you need to this point. Maybe a little fortunate to have three victories as opposed to two losses. But the strongest factor in the whole goaltending situation is that Vasilevsky was no good for four games. Mm-hmm. And has Vasilevsky turned the corner? And what does that require of Samsonov in game six or seven?
I'm not ready to say Vasilevsky's turned the corner.
He's turning the corner. How about that?
Yeah, he's approaching the corner, potentially.
Keep telling him he sucks.
Blinkers on. The blinker's on. Let's see if he gets there.
The blinker's on.
I'm not telling him he sucks, but like they've clearly found something with him where they're filtering these shots in the point, and they're going in a lot of the time, and last night they had three or four.
Well, there was the Marner one off the post really late, too. Yeah, you're right.
And on the penalty kill for the Leafs, they had that shorthanded chance where Jake McCabe kind of just soft filtered one towards the net, and it just missed. Was it Kampf or somebody was going towards the net, and like he had no idea where it was, and it barely missed. Like they were just
they
a centimeter
moments.
Off
they
last
had moments.
Night. They could have easily got four or five last night. Easily.
Okay, a couple other things we want to touch on. The Maroon late hit and the referee shrugging.
We barely talked about this.
We haven't had a chance. There's so much to unpack, but we'll save it for you guys.
Ref talk. Just talk to him.
Okay. I love to complain about the refs, and even I have to say that the Michael Jordan shrug, or the even better than the Michael Jordan shrug, because it was silly, it was like the security guard giving the shrug to Michael, is among the funniest things I've ever seen. What are you doing? It is a Stanley Cup playoff game, and a guy just got... Now, again, like benefit of hindsight, we can sit here and quibble 2-5, whatever. I can actually, in the light of day, I can have that debate today. But to see that play in the moment, how vicious it looked and all of that, and to look at him and go, come on, get up. What are you doing? I am dumbfounded that's what happened.
I fault the back referee more than that ref, because he had a bad angle on it. Like he was kind of in the play, and he turned around quickly, and he was like, oh. And
then the optics hilarious staring at it.
But he's get up.
He took a bad angle to it. Like from his vantage point, it was such a bang bang play because he was part of the play. The back ref is staring right at it. He sees it. It's like,
he took a Justin Hall bad turn. I thought it was like, you know what a FIFA official is like, calmly just raises his arm when it's like, you have to get up now. That's exactly what he did. He did the two-handed, just get up. And it was like, Jordan got maybe concussed from behind.
And like, poor old Gio down on one knee there. And he's just like, this guy's too old for that. That one's not going to feel good this morning.
He did put himself in a bad position. I think 2 minutes was the right call.
I thought it should have been, probably two for the hit and two for a rough.
But then you got to give Matthews a rough, too, and they got away with Matthews.
You don't have to. They've taken one guy out of a pile before.
Matthews did initiate the post.
He did.
Well, I'd argue Pat Maroon initiated it with a pretty greasy hit on Marchionette.
If we're doing the hit, penalized, then Matthews penalized, then Maroon penalized, you come up two ahead, and that's probably what it should have been.
And they had a golden opportunity to start the third period to impose their will with their power play, fizzled out in a big game like it always does.
I will say, just quickly, being in the booth with Joe Bowen, because I was making my way up there to do the intermission, as he live heard that it was going to be a minor a five, I thought he was going to jump on the ice. He was not happy. And just to put in perspective the vibes, his call in the Morgan Riley goal was just mo, you are beautiful, of how excited that man was to start the day.
He has been beautiful. I mean, Morgan Riley.
But John, to throw Bones in the bus, but that shouldn't have been five. It wasn't a 5 minute major. My first reaction was five, and then I saw it again.
If you're going to do the thing with Morgan Riley and point three games earlier in the series, you call the five and look at it at least. It looked terrible to say, to have the ref going, come on, wussy, get up, and then not even say, let's take a look at it. Optically, terrible.
A hard, potentially concussive hit that goes through the numbers, whether someone's turning or not, give it the five, look at it, make the right call. I don't think that's that hard.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else that we missed because we have so much to unpack?
I'm trying to think.
Any Leafs talk thoughts? Any
game six
There's two things quickly. Just please tomorrow. Please. I cannot.
I think we deserve it.
I cannot. I will have the game on the fan if it's game seven. My heart cannot.
You don't want it.
Cannot handle that. So please. And also, should they get it done on Saturday, I'm booking myself in the 6:30 time slot because I got to get these takes off Monday morning. So
no problem. We'll take it. Daniela, you got that down.
6:30. All right.
Can I tell you guys right now that I have never been more sure of anything than a game seven Monday night?
Wow, two different vibes.
You guys will like this as well. You got Wake and Rake coming up here. So when the Leafs won game four, Tampa was at plus 1,100.
Justin might have got on that.
I did too, but I was sad. I couldn't jam it fast enough, so I got it at like 10. I got it at an even plus 1,000.
Yeah. I jumped the gun. I did it before game four. Wish I waited till after.
Yeah, I got 950.
I bet a lot of money on the Tampa Bay Lightning last night.
An uncomfortable amount. I have the preemptive Lightning in seven from before the series started, just because you need that. Like, it was always going seven. I agree with you. I think it's...
No, there's no question.
Are we ever going to, like...
It's written in the stars.
It's written in the stars. These two teams were going seven.
It's like all bets are off. Like,
oh, I go a very much different way on that. I think all the bets are in, and I made it on the right team, unfortunately.
Right now. If it goes seven, we might be seeing...
The end.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody in the city can handle a game seven.
Mm-mm. If they find a way to win a game seven versus Tampa, like... Curse, demons, everything gone, over. Like, we never talk about it again.
I don't know about that.
No, I think you're right.
The curse and everything goes away, but a series against Boston, it's going to be amazing how quick the sunshine and rainbows of we did it goes away. Yeah.
Does not mean you're going to win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
This is the hump.
No, not say you can't. I'm not saying they can't.
This is the hurdle. Just get over this hurdle, and then the world may be your oyster, or you just get thumped by the Boston
Bruins. How do you think that flight to Tampa's going?
Fine.
You think that, like...
Yeah, they're
Ryan
fine.
It was the suck, whole, though. This no is the whole point suck. Of getting those guys.
That's what
Ryan
I said.
Ryan O'Reilly, like, a cookie,
you get
all those guys.
You get Luke Shen, you get Ryan O'Reilly. This is your moment. Mm-hmm. Like, there are going to be stories of lore written about you if you can find a way to...
Ryan O'Reilly's got the guitar out. He's strumming,
Have
champagne somebody, supernova.
Have somebody doing a Jason Hayward speech on the plane, like from the Cubs World Series win. Fire the boys up.
Just get ready for the
Why is it always a guitar? There's always a guitar involved in, like, a...
Because
he's the fact daddy. That's
like
what he does.
Singing color dude, eh?
Yeah, he sings.
But I mean, Nick Nurse brought the guitar. That was a big...
Yeah, don't bring him into this.
Don't mention Ryan O'Reilly and Nick Nurse in the same sentence ever again, please.
No.
It's unfair.
My love and...
You don't want to see a R.O.? You don't want to see a nice R.O. hat on a post-game?
R.O.R.
No, thank you.
I actually, you know what? I would love that piece of merch, quite honestly.
Oh, I'd wear that. Well, I'd wear that.
Yeah, you're a hat woman. You got a lot of good hats.
No hats today, though, for the squad.
Wow. Except for mine.
Yeah, well, you always wear a hat.
Yeah. Should have been a hat.
I don't even know if you have hair at the top of your head. I see the back.
He's got a mullet.
He's got a mullet.
You got a mullet going on. You know what? You look like Pat Maroon.
No, he looks like Cam Smith.
No, Pat Maroon has this hair. I said to Justin yesterday.
That's rude.
Maroon takes his bucket off, and he's like,
oh my God,
beacon with the wrath. And I said he looks like a guy you'd see at like the Daytona 800.
Looks like a big NASCAR fan. Yeah, 100%. Big time.
Needless to say, Tampa Bay Lightning aren't going to be on the cover of GQ as a team. Let's just say that.
Yeah, you guys were ripping on Vasilevsky's appearance.
He takes off his bucket. Cool. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my
I said he looks like an 80s like rock band with a stringy hair.
He looks like he lives in a castle in Transylvania.
He's the drummer, though. He's the drummer. He's not getting much
air castle in Transylvania.
Oh, God. All right. Who you got on the show to promo today?
Doug McClain, as always.
We know him.
On Off the Rail Fridays, and then we're working some other stuff.
Okay. Stay tuned. That's suspense. Oh, yeah. You got to tune in later. Real Kipper and Bourne, and then Gunner, if possible, Monday. But
please.
Okay.
So you're still coming on at 6:30
versus
Game 7?
We hope we'll have you Monday on our show, yeah. Or if not, you'll have you Monday on. So Monday, you'll hear your voice.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
We'll see who's right about your takes, either Game 7 or not. But it seems like there's some confidence that we'll be back for a Game 7.
Doesn't it feel like that's fate?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
You guys can also exit. Don't worry if you...
Oh, you guys are staying on?
Yeah, we're staying on.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Hey, no problem.
Go listen to us from the other room. That's Sam McKee and Gunner. Oh, and our insiders, plural. Double duty brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
You want to talk about my conduct on the other side of the break?
Yeah, I think it's important.
Other side of the break, though. Huh?
Yeah, Justin did something. We tried to will something to happen from the press box last night. We tried to change the juju and the vibes, and it worked once, but didn't work twice.
Well, we're all trying to play our part, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we were talking about yesterday. What did you do to try and help the cause? I tried to do my part.
We'll give you that and more. We've got the baby wake and rake on the other side of the break. And, of course, the Seattle Mariners are in town this weekend to face the Blue Jays 3-game series. Teoscar Hernandez. Teo, back. A beloved guy in the city. What's the reception going to be like? You know that the home run prop will be given to you and will be bet by yours truly on the other side of the break. All that and more on the Fan Morning Show. Wrap up your Friday.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's send you off on your weekend on a good note. went through a lot of vibes, a lot of emotions, the highs, the lows of being in Toronto covering the Maple Leafs. Throughout.
Listen, this could be a hell of a weekend for the city of Toronto.
It sure could be.
Could be a great weekend.
You go win Saturday night on the road, the streets would be pouring out folks from Real Sports, Dublin, calling Hoops.
Hoops.
Man, Hoops is a bar.
I have not been to Hoops in some time.
Hoops will be busy. All the spots will be packed. And hopefully they get an opportunity to celebrate.
Yeah, big bar night in the city.
Big bar night. You got three games against the Seattle Mariners. 7:07 tonight, 3:07. That leads right into Leafs.
Man.
Oh, boy, it's a busy day. And then Sunday, 1:37. You got Alec Manoah on the mound against someone that we know real well, Luis Castillo.
Tonight, yes.
That's a big, big one. Teoscar Hernandez back, kicking off their action. Rematch of last year's AL wildcard. I think I remember that one going poorly. It was close, though, wasn't it?
So, you know, the vibe that day and night was not all that fun either.
So,
we need something. We need a breakthrough here.
You know what we need to do? Exercise the demons all weekend long. We need the Leafs to get rid of the demons. We need the AL wildcard memory to be flushed if you sweep the Mariners.
Yeah. I mean, the opportunity is there.
We could be feeling so good Monday morning. Please. Please. Nonetheless, okay, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 1, Sportsnet Now, Sportsnet 590, the fans streaming on sportsnet.ca/590. You got Alec Manoah and Luis Castillo starting off tonight's three-game series against the Mariners. Teoscar, people love the guy, deservingly so. He brought a lot of joy and happiness and energy to this team and to that clubhouse and to all of his buddies on the squad, and he's gone. And he is going to get a home run tonight, and that's going to be plus 440, and I'm going to tell you that right now, and you can put that in your own parlay.
What were the odds of the Maple Leafs scoring a game-tying goal last night once I exited the press box?
Oh, yes, so the story is Justin in Game 1 and Game 2, which you were at both times, had the opportunity to leave the game early as the score was almost a touchdown.
So around the 10-minute mark, both games left, beat the traffic,
and that's
home.
Fine. We'll accept it because you're a journalist and it's different than you just leaving and giving up on the team.
Early morning radio.
Yeah. So
live outside of the city.
We get it. And you saved at least 45 minutes by leaving early because of the traffic. So last night, the game's closed. So you're like, okay, I guess I can't really leave early. Then it gets to 3-1. And I was like, Justin, you should just go. Like, I'll stay because I'm walking home. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
Foot traffic's the same. Although I did pause because Maple Leaf Square was so packed that I waited a little bit to not go through like the swarm of people. Nonetheless, you left, you grabbed your stuff. You said, okay, I'm going to zip out the final commercial break of the game.
You convinced me, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll take some credit for that. I convinced you and you scurry away. The puck drops. You're not even at the main level of the press box. You're up a staircase.
There's about 7 stairs and I turned the corner. The blinker was on.
You were in the midst of turning left.
Did complete the turn.
And then
barely complete the turn.
Goal.
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates starts pouring through the speakers. And then I turn around and I see little Justin shuffling back through the press box. Oh, my God, they scored.
Running back, yeah.
And so he came back. And I thought, oh, my God, okay, you just, like, wow, the comeback's coming, right?
Yeah, and we talked all day about superstition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it was almost imperative after I came back to reconsider being there and to leave once again.
And you were caught red-handed by your father, who sits above us, and gave you a little look like, oh, okay, just...
His focus probably should have been elsewhere, to be honest.
Nonetheless, you sit there, we're watching, now the crowd is in it. The crowd is in it, the towels are waving, I thought, they're doing this, they're doing it, there's
time. But the response to the goal wasn't great. It was like they scored, and then immediately they're like, oh, that guy's back, and it's not going well again.
So then, I'm like, Justin, you got to leave again, because last time when you were leaving, they scored. So convince you to leave again, and this time you don't come back. Cause...
Yeah, but maybe like you can't fool the powers, right? Because I knew once I left the second time that I wasn't going to exit the arena until the game was over. Because you can't get back in, right?
Yeah, you can't.
So I kind of dilly-dallied a little bit. I took a peek, looked over my shoulder, was watching the TVs.
Mm.
Didn't get on the elevator until the game was pretty much a wrap, until that empty netter went in. So I don't know if I did my part, like, completely, But I tried.
You tried. And we talked about this all day yesterday. People were going to try to get their superstitions working, whatever they did for the last two games before yesterday. They were going to continue those vibes, sit in the same seat, drink the same beer, have the same dinner. And somebody messed up somewhere down the road. One of us didn't follow through on our promise. And we have another opportunity tomorrow.
So you have a decision then for game seven. Because you are...
There's no game seven.
If there's a game seven, you are famously 0-2. Or the Leafs are 0-2 when you're in attendance. The only game that they did win at home on home ice, I was there solo.
We'll cross that bridge when it comes. If it comes.
Okay.
If I'm the one messing up the Leafs vibe...
I'm just saying, if you're going to call out Charlotte, who's,
no,
you know,
Charlotte did
doing
her best.
Her thing...
She's a 6-year-old girl.
I know. She did what she had to do. And you might have to pick up on the fact that it's just not happened when you're in the press box.
Well, I am curious of everyone's viewing habits for Saturday night. It's a Saturday night. It's a serious clinching moment. Are you going to the square? Are you going to a bar? Are you having your buddies over? Are you watching solo on your couch on the edge of your seat? It's interesting how we all go through these things. I haven't made my decision yet, personally.
If you got a story to tell from your Saturday night, win or lose, let us know in the text line Monday. We'll fire up the callers, the text. We'll have it all going. We want to hear about how you absorbed.
We're either teeing
Saturday night and game six.
A game seven, which, my God, wouldn't that be tension? Or we're celebrating a Maple Leafs series victory. So we'll hear from you either way. Tonight, Blue Jays, we've got some series clinching opportunities in the NHL as well. My Wake and Rake pick will come from one of those series clinching scenarios. It will be the Boston Bruins to win in regulation against the Florida Panthers. Road teams have been great. The Bruins squandered an opportunity dramatically, embarrassingly by Linus Ullmark in overtime at home. They're going to win tonight in regulation against the Panthers. They're going to just wrap this puppy up. They're ready to go. They're ready to face whoever it is in the second round. I think Florida's put up a valiant effort. However, it's time for the Bruins to take over like the best team in the NHL as they were all season long. So Bruins in regulation, it's plus money.
There you go.
Bruins
on the road. I mean, if they're forced to a game seven, wow.
That
would be quite the story.
It's also a happiness hedge. Because if they're pushed to game seven, they're even more tired. They're even more tense. Maybe the Florida Panthers win the series. I don't know.
Perhaps they will.
So that's my pick. You're going?
I don't want to bet against the Blue Jays on the money line because you're right. I want to see them hand a loss to the Seattle Mariners. But Luis Castillo has been the best pitcher in the American League so far this season, at least the last time I checked. Fangraphs and any other site that you want to look at pitcher performance, he's been really, really good. So I expect the Blue Jays to struggle. And it'll be on Alec Manoah to have a good performance on the mound. So maybe in a low-scoring affair, the Blue Jays can grab the dub, but I don't think they're going to score 5 runs in the game against Luis Castillo. So I will take the under 4.5 Toronto Blue Jays runs, -135.
Okay. Unfortunately, I'm going to tell you that I'm not big on the Blue Jays tonight. They had their big play ball gala yesterday at the Rogers Center.
Oh, that's another reason. There you go.
It looked beautiful. It's for a great cause, but the guys are all out celebrating. And you know what? Just the focus is off a little bit.
So playing guilty a little bit with the best pitcher in the American League on the mound.
I'm just saying. I wouldn't say that it's my highest point of confidence in the Blue Jays tonight. Against the Mariners, a night off where you partied. Like, just go look at the Twitter feed. They had a good time. There's a video of Kevin Kiermaier dancing that...
Easy.
Go watch it.
Easy.
He's gyrating.
Okay.
Just look at the Twitter. I'm just sharing the information.
It's fantastic.
They were having a wonderful time last night. The Blue Jays tweeted it out. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I don't have the biggest point of confidence with the Blue
Jays
tonight.
This might be a spot to bet on the Mariners. But I want to leave the door open.
Yes,
so.
And I like that. That's a nice way to put it.
Under 4.5.
Under 4.5 for the Toronto Blue Jays against the Mariners. Boston Bruins in regulation. Let's go through some anchor picks. We've got Happy Friday going with Golden State. I wonder whose text this is. I'll take Game 6 Clay to go over 23.5 points. Jules will take the Warriors to win and cover 7.5. The heart of the champions will shine tonight at home and send the Kings back to beam down.
Yeah, it seems like Golden State's taking back the throne just a little bit. I bet Ron and Juliana have a bet on Golden State to win the title. The path is clearing for teams. Milwaukee out. Boston was wobbling. They do get through. It just... seems like it's wide open, and the known quantity, well, that's still Golden State. Next one, Adrian, courier from Burlington. Shout out to my girlfriend, Carissa.
Oh.
Shout out to Carissa. Hope you have a good day.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Just a good day. That's nice. Florida Panthers money line. Seattle Kraken first goal scored. LeBron James over points, rebounds, and assists. Warriors and Kings winning margin six, between 6 and 10. A lot there.
Okay, well, definitely not Florida Panthers money line, but Seattle Kraken first goal, I think they've done it every game of the series. And LeBron over points, assists, and rebounds. And Warriors and Kings winning margin.
So I guess the Kings, I guess, could win by between 6 or 10. Basically, he's saying the Warriors are going to win by either 6, 7, 8, or 10 points.
We might have to go Warriors tonight, clearly. Last one, Corey from Port Hope, my wake and rate pick. I'll take Minnesota on the money line. I think they'll be tough to beat at home when facing elimination.
Yeah, so a couple elimination games in the NHL. Interesting stuff across the board. Carolina, Boston, Dallas, and Seattle have the opportunity to close out series. This could be the last, probably will be the last time we get four NHL games in one night, which is a beautiful thing. Four playoff games, that is, in one night, which is a beautiful thing. But all could be forced into a game seven, which would give us set up a nice Sunday. But yeah, it's likely one of these series or a couple of these series finish. It's just about picking the right spot.
Okay, so we got a lot of love for the Warriors. We did go with, I believe, with these guys one of the days this week. And then we have a collection of picks from Adrian and Corey.
I think Warriors is the firmest play. I think we just throw the Warriors in there.
Okay.
We dim the beam.
So are we doing them on the spread?
Yeah.
Or are we Juliana's doing Clay?
Juliana's got 7.5. Let's do that.
Or Clay points.
Whatever you want.
Well, it's whatever you want. I'm seeing the Warriors are 6.5. Should we take that?
It's moving against Juliana.
Oh, shoot.
I would tend to go with the Warriors. Player props is
Warriors 6.5 is what I'm seeing, but wherever you get your spread, help
could
with
be
that.
A Steph night, could be in Jordan Poole night. Like who really knows? I think it's going to be a Warriors night. So either way, whoever scores the points, as long as it's more than 7.
Okay, parlay that together. Under 4.5 runs for the Jays tonight. Bruins in regulation over the Florida Panthers close that series. And the Golden State Warriors -6.5 in the spread against the Beam team. Oh, my Beam team. That is +520 today. Put that in and hope we're coming back with some happy vibes and some money on Monday morning.
Big weekend. It'll be a big money. Big money if you win the Wake and Rake. Big Monday on the Fan Morning Show. Lots to break down with the Mariners and the Lightning being the foil to Toronto sports.
Okay, everybody. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening this week. Thanks to all our guests and for Sammy and for Brent for coming in person. And we'll see you Monday morning.